Salt before Saltaire. Many people know that Titus Salt built Saltaire, and that 150 years afterwards, it became a World Heritage Site. But few know that Titus was 50 years old when the mill was completed. What happened in the previous half of the century to prepare Salt for such an outstanding achievement? Titus was born in 1803, in Morley, near Leeds, and he grew up there and in Wakefield, to which his family moved to take over a farm. This did not deliver the income Daniel, his father, wanted. Daniel's eye was drawn to job opportunities in the booming city of Bradford, where textile factories were springing into existence at a phenomenal rate. The family moved just as teenage Titus had left school, and taken on his first job in Wakefield, as an apprentice wool merchant. Though Daniel was not to regret the move, he surely could not have predicted it would be his 17-year-old boy who would make the headlines and leave a world-renowned legacy. Titus's first years in Bradford were spent profitably. He was apprenticed to the well-regarded Rouse family, who owned a textile mill and were soon to own two others. They gave Titus an excellent grounding in merchandise textile manufacture. This was followed by a period working with his father, buying and selling wool. Amongst the young man's tasks was travelling to buy from sheep farmers. And on one of these trips, he discovered Caroline, a Lincolnshire farmer's daughter whom he would marry in 1829. They would move to a house in Bradford's North Parade, close to his family home. Not long after, Daniel Salton's son experienced a swift expansion. It appears to have been the result of successful innovation. The company was a large dealer in Donskoy wool, which was exclusively used in woolen manufacture. The Salts were confident it can be used in worsteds, but their clients were not convinced. Daniel and Titus decided to take on the challenge themselves by becoming spinners and manufacturers. They did so at Thompson's Mill in Bradford's Goitside, and it was a commercial success. Daniel retired in 1843, and Titus started up on his own account at Holling's Mill at Goitside. It was a second innovation which sealed Titus Salt's position as one of the leading employers in Bradford's textile trade. Whilst visiting an importer of fibres in Liverpool, he came across bales of alpaca wool, and from mid-1836, he embarked on a lengthy programme of research into its possible use. He was successful. The product proved to be exceptionally popular, and he extended his empire into two other mills, notably a large one in Union Street, which became his HQ. The alpaca breakthrough led to great wealth sufficient to fund the biggest and best textile factory of all, just 4 miles away in what would become Saltaire. Our story so far has concentrated on Salt, the businessman. But Salt before Saltaire was not one-dimensional. He was a family man. Caroline and Titus had 6 sons and 5 daughters. 2 died in infancy and 1/3 at the age of 20. No doubt because of this sizable family, but also because of Titus's growing wealth, they moved to larger premises at Little Horton Lane in Bradford, close to his Union Street HQ, in 1836. And 7 years later, to a palatial residence, Crow's Nest in Lightcliff. Salt was a committed Christian and worshipped first at Horton Lane Congregational Chapel and later at the newly built Salem Chapel at the junction of Manor Row and Salem Street. These were both very close to the centre of Bradford, but also central to political power. Like many of the wealthy, non-conformist employers in the city, Salt was a liberal and very active. The focal point of the group was Horton Lane Chapel. The group dominated Bradford in the middle of the 19th century. Congregationalist Robert Milligan was the first mayor in 1847, and the MP from 1851 to 57. Titus Salt was the second mayor in 1848 and MP from 1859 to 61. As mayor, Salt was active in tackling the city's pollution and social problems, and this exposure, together with his Christianity and politics, were surely factors in the creation of Saltaire. The village he built was set in the countryside. It benefited from fresh air, the housing was much better than was typical for working people, and it had an effective drainage system. Famously, it had no pubs. Less famously, it delivered educational facilities, a hospital, a wonderful park, and longer lives for its inhabitants.